I have this friend I want to tell you about today. I met her back in, probably right out of high school. I went to school, post-secondary school, and I met her there. And we stayed in touch. She lives in Edmonton. She's got like two kids and married or something like that. But we stay in touch now and again. But I've never met anyone who can spiritualize everything like she can. Do you know anyone like that? Don't put up your hand, but I'm going to put up my hand. So I'll tell you, the other day she texted me and she says, "Hey Vince, I got a new job." I was like, "Wow, congrats." She says, "Oh no, it wasn't me, it was God." I was like, "Okay, like what happened?" Well, she says, I went to this job interview. I heard about this job in insurance. Now, she worked in insurance for years and years and years. But from what I understand, in insurance, you have to have credentials, and your credentials have to be kept up to date. And hers had lapsed. So she goes to this job interview with lapsed credentials in a field she hasn't worked in for quite a while. And the other two people she's running against both are currently working and have their credentials. And she gets the job. So, of course, my response is, congratulations. Her response is, "Oh, it wasn't me, it was God." My text back said, "Maybe just really kick butt on interviews. Just throwing it out there." You know? But for her, everything has to do with God. Now, I'm not saying it was God or not God. I'm just saying she's a really charming girl. She interviews really well. Might that be part of it? Now, see, in her family, her response, "It was God," wouldn't be odd. She told me a story. A couple years after we went to school together, she was dating somebody. She took the guy home, and her dad he walks in the door, and her dad's like, "Who's this?" She says, "Well, this is my boyfriend." And I couldn't understand why the dad was being kind of a bit of a jerk about it. But you see, he had had a dream a number of years ago wherein he dreamed my friend and her future husband. And in his mind, this wasn't spicy pizza, brain putting weird things together to create a dream, right? This was God telling him who she would marry one day. And so when the boyfriend walked in and he didn't match the picture of the guy in the dream, he was like, "Well, who's this jerk? That's not who you're going to marry." You see, in her family, this kind of stuff is just normal. Everything is God, Jesus, something, everything. Now, I'm not saying it isn't, but I have to say, from my point of view, and I hope she's not listening to this, because I think she's making it up sometimes. Is that okay to say? Because for her, when things are good, God brought that. When things are bad, God brought that. Everything is spiritual, but her whole family is like this. And I can't understand why, for her, it works this way. You've heard this before. Someone says, "It's my wedding this week. I'm praying for a son because we want to have a nice wedding, right?" Well, right now it's kind of dry, so the farmers around them are praying for rain. So we have someone praying for sun and someone praying for rain. How does that work? Like, is there rain all around with like a sunspot in the middle? Or maybe there's more farmers praying than the wedding people, and so they like trumpet or something? Like, the wedding gets rain? I don't know how it works. Does anyone know how it works? Because honestly, people say, "God healed me." And I think that would be amazing to be healed. But when I look at it and I see all the people who aren't healed, I don't know what to do with that. When I look around this world, it seems like random, doesn't it? I've told you guys this study before, but I'm going to say it again. There's a study called the God Experiment. About 1,800 cardiac bypatients were tested after they had their surgery. Three groups of people. First group, they are not prayed for. They don't know whether or not they're being prayed, but they're not being prayed for. Second group, being prayed for again, don't know if they're being prayed for. Third group, being prayed for, but know it. Now, if prayer worked the way I think it should work, or the way I was taught it was supposed to work, the prayer should do something, right? But you look at the complications. People who were prayed for but didn't know, they had about 52% complications. The people who weren't prayed for and didn't know it, about 51, so statistically about the same. The people who were prayed for and knew about it did significantly worse. Anyone want to come up here and explain that to me? There's a mic right here. I'd welcome to it. What do we do with that? I was taught when I was a kid, there's ways that you pray to make it work better. And they never said that. This is Vince being a bit jaded here, so bear with me. Does anyone pray and at the end you say, in Jesus' name, amen? Anyone ever, in Jesus' name, amen? It's because in the Bible at one point it says, if you pray in my name, it's going to work better. And so we're trying to make it work better, right? I got a text from somebody in my family. Said, pray for me. It's kind of nice, you know. But below that, I understand what's going on in their minds. If more people pray for me, it's going to work better. So get everybody we know to pray. And yet, when we look at the study results, I don't know about you, but the basis of this, can we agree that prayer is complex? I don't know that I know anyone who has it all figured out, who knows how it works, who can make it work better, fill in whatever words you like. It's complex. But about 6 months ago, I talked a bit about prayer. And through that process, we never tell you guys stuff that we've figured out. We always tell you stuff that we're right in the middle of, like it's just a mess in us. And so when I preached that message on prayer, I was just starting to kind of go, wait a second. I'd thrown prayer out for so many years. Maybe there's something to it. And what I found through this whole process is something amazing that I think prayer does. Something that's changed me already. Or maybe I should say it this way. It's changing me. This series is called Revisited. And basically we take raw content that we talked about in the past. Jeff talked about one. Did anyone hear Extra Chunky? What a great visual metaphor, isn't that? So today I'm talking about prayer. And it's just my learnings over the last 6 months. It feels like it's accelerated huge. And I just want to share with you guys kind of the growth that I've learned. Maybe the journey that I'm on or the steps, because I think there's something beautiful for all of us in this. When I talked about it last time, I talked about a person named Hagar. Now, we find Hagar in the desert. She's sitting underneath a bush, and she yells this out. She says, can you throw that up for me? Do not let me look on the death of this child. You see, she's been sent to the desert with a single water skin of water with her young child. They've run out of water a long time ago. And she can't bear to have the child in her arms as he fades away. And so she puts him far enough away she can see him, but she doesn't have to experience it. She says, do not let me look on the death of this child. I'm not a parent. And this story already breaks my heart. For you parents out there, this just must be killing you guys. And that's where I stopped the story last time. And this just heartbreaking moment. But today I want to tell you the next part of the story. Because she yells out this. Do not let me look on the death of this child. And a voice from heaven answers. Let me just put that into your life for a second. Let's say you're driving to church this morning. and the traffic's bad. Why do I always use traffic was bad? Because traffic makes me so angry. That's on me. That's my stuff. Traffic's bad. Job, loss of a job. Life's going to crap. Sickness. You like name the bad thing. You know that feeling where it's just, it's getting too much and you just have to like, ah! You yell something out or you just, like you just have to let it out. Now imagine in that moment, a voice answers from like up there someplace. Vince, is there something you need? How would you react to that? I'd be looking at my friends going, okay, who's punking me, buddy? Like, where, who? But how would you react if our cries, our expressions were answered from heaven? And when I say heaven, I mean like up there someplace. Because that's what the story does. Hagar says, do not let me look on the death of my child. And a voice from heaven answers. And she has a whole conversation with God. Does that not seem odd to anybody? Has anyone ever, you know, yelled at someone in traffic and had God answer them, and then you had a discussion with God about their driving habits? And, you know, God was playing the devil's advocate. Well, you know, they might be new drivers, you know, but really they should signal before they get in front of me. But, you know, they, bad day, I don't know. Does that not seem odd to anybody? Because Hagar thinks that's completely normal. She's like, well, of course that would happen. Why not? Just like my friend getting a long shot job in insurance. Yeah, of course. That's just how it works, right? How is it that these people, maybe you're one of them, but how is it that these people see spirituality? And when spiritual things happen, these moments that I can't even explain, to them it's just, yeah, that's just normal, isn't it? How do they get that? How do we get that? Maybe the question I'm really asking is, how do I get that? I was reading two books when I wrote this the first message, Finding God in the Waves, and How God Changes Your Brain. They're fascinating books that talked a lot about how our brains work with spirituality. And something in their texts tripped me. I went back to take a look at the notes I'd written on the books, and I couldn't find exactly what it was. It was almost like the whole book, something in it shifted me a little bit. Because their thesis is this. They put a bunch of people in MRIs, as we do, right? Isn't that how we do all things in this world these days? Put someone in an MRI, make them do something. So they had people put them in an MRI and had them recount in their minds spiritual moments of their life. We call them thin places, where it feels like the spiritual and our lives are really close. It's just like a thin layer between us. And then they checked to see what's going on in their brains. And what they found was a certain area of their brains lit up consistently in people who had a lot of spiritual experiences. Fascinating, isn't it? And then they put a bunch of logical people in there. Not that we're all non-spiritual, but come on, let's be honest. A bunch of people who can solve quadratic equations in their sleep. Anyone just have a math nightmare on that one? For the people who are going, oh yeah, yeah. Remember, you know, times the first, inside, outside, last, right? Easy peasy. They put a bunch of us in there. And they checked what our brains are doing. And you know that little part of the brain that lit up when people had spiritual experience? It was black. Nothing's going on in there. And their thesis is this. They said, regardless of whether God shows up, all those things. So put that aside for a second. Our brains, there's certain circuits in our brains that we need to to feel spiritual experiences. You know that famous thing, why doesn't God show up to the atheists? Right? Well, now this could be the answer. Because if God showed up to the atheists, but the atheists didn't have that part of their brain highly functioning, they would not see God. They can't. If this is true, then we can learn to exercise parts of our brain that help us create spiritual experiences. Just like you do enough math, you can do a quadratic equation in your head, right? You can factor that sucker. Isn't it FOIL? F-O-I-L? Yeah, front, inside, outside, last. Sorry. Clearly I'm not one of those logical people that solves quadratic equations in their sleep. In neurology, we understand that they say neurons that fire together, wire together. So essentially, if you use something regularly, it creates a pathway in your brain that's easy to use. So if we can do something, the people that struggle with spiritual experiences, if we can do something enough to get that part of our brain working again, or maybe working for the first time, we can experience the world spiritually. So when I first read this, I didn't even know what to do with this. But I'm in the world of, I want to experience more of more, right? For me, more is God, something more. And anything that can get me there, I'm all over it. Because let's be honest. Or maybe I should say it this way, I'll be honest. That joke about, you know, the wedding couple praying for sun and the farmers praying for rain. I know it's kind of funny, like, you know, a little cloud of sun with rain all over around it. But for me, that's troubling. How would this even work? How does God interact with this world? How do we even see this moment of things being good and, well, that's God, and things being bad and that might be God too? This topic I found difficult. And I haven't really prayed for years because I didn't know what to do with it. Do you pray for someone sick? And when they die, what do you do? Every once in a while I get feedback in the back of, you know, the surveys we ask you guys to do to our messages. On my weeks, it's, hey Vince, why don't you pray after the end of the message? Jeff always prays. You never pray. It's because I don't know what to do with it. At least I didn't. But it's starting to change for me. Starting to change in the way that I started to define prayer differently. Before prayer was trying to change God, something in reading these books shifted to changing me. My logical brain could get my brain around, oh, creating a new pathway? Okay, that I can understand. That's just a skill, right? I just need to exercise that brain, that part of my brain more. Now, when I say pray, a lot of you are thinking a lot of different things, right? If you have a Catholic background, you're thinking rosaries, right? Anyone have to, or is old enough to remember having to pray in school? Couldn't get away with that anymore, could you? Some people, it's again, right? In Jesus' name, amen, or get everyone together to pray. That's not what I mean by pray. Because when I read these books, they reinterpreted prayer for me. They said this is what prayer looks like to wire your brain to feel spiritual experiences. They said this, open yourself up to something more. Now for some of you, that's going to be God. That's fantastic. Some of you, when I say God, you think old man with a beard in the sky who's mad at me all the time. He's just waiting for me to screw up and he's going to come, you know, punish me and send me to hell. That's why I don't use the word God very much anymore. I use the word more. Because it's not what I'm getting at. That's not what this thing's about. It's opening yourself up to something bigger than you. It can be the creative force of the universe. It could be evolution. It could be fill in whatever blank. It's just got to be more, and it's got to be a positive force. You just open yourself up to it. For me, often there's this kind of mental image of like, it's above me, and I kind of open myself up. This idea of something more. And then instead of what I was taught growing up, which is get the magic eight ball, you know, God, should I do this? Yes. God, should I do that? Maybe. Oh, crap. God, should I take this next job? No. Okay, perfect. Or the other one that's, you know, my back hurts. Can you fix that? My relationships are struggling. Can you fix that? Can you make that happen? Can you get that going on? That's not what this is. It's opening yourself up to something more. And then just talking about what's going on in your life. Had a bad day today. This person's driving me nuts. I feel incredibly close to that person right now. My life's amazing. Work sucks. I want to punch that guy in the face. I want to give that person a hug. Prayer. Not to change God, but to teach our brains to be able to feel spiritual experiences. Sitting, actually I was home having a shower one night, and I had the lights off because, you know, it's the end of the day, you're trying to wind down a little bit. And all of a sudden I realized that more that I want to connect with, it's right here. I just felt it so strongly. I hadn't had that for a long time. But in the last 6 months since I talked about this, every day I go to work, jump in my truck, and I drive from my house. And I keep the radio off, keep my audiobooks off, and I would just open myself up to something more and start talking about my life. Sometimes it was one line. Life's good. Sometimes it was 10 minutes of talking about what was going on. And every day I did it. Then I turned on my audiobook or whatever thing I was learning. But I spent that first bit of time just opening myself up to something more. Fast forward 6 months. Thin place moment. I know about you, but I'm not here to just learn a bunch of stuff. I read enough as it is. I'm here to experience something more, something divine, to experience God. Two people said to me this morning, you know, Vince, when you talk, I'm here for the music. I think that's amazing. Because for some people, that music, that experience that they created this morning, it does something, doesn't it? Doesn't things feel thinner? It's like God or something just kind of got a little closer. Some of us, we need to talk it through and get a bunch of stuff. We need to train our brains to experience these things. So today, I want to invite you guys to do this kind of prayer with me. This is something that if you're an atheist, if you're a theist, anyone can do it. You don't have to have a certain belief set. Just open yourself up to something more. Whatever that more looks like for you. And when your brain says, oh, but there's nothing more, nothing exists, blah, 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 that's your logical brain. It's trying to solve quadratic equations. Not appropriate for this situation. If this is something that you've struggled with, it's because your brain's not trained to do this. So think of this as lifting weights. This is your first day lifting spiritual weights. So what I want you to do, if you're open, close your eyes. I'm going to get Chantel to just turn on a little bit of music in behind so we don't hear too much quietness. Distracts us. Okay, take a couple deep breaths right into your stomach. Open yourself up to something more. I don't care what it is. The part of your brain that's telling you to, this doesn't make any sense, just ignore that part. It's not the part we're working out today. I'm just going to read out a bunch of statements and questions. But I just want you to answer to that more, that thing that you're open to. I want you to just talk through the best moment you had this week. I just say, talk about the worst moment. This happened. I felt this way. This hit me. Talk about the thing you liked most this week. Just talk about what you felt this week. Happy, sad, frustrated, helpless, connected. Talk about your favorite person right now. Person who brings a smile to your face. What's your favorite memory about them? There's going to be times when you want to pull out of this, right? That part of our brain isn't trained. It isn't trained to just express, communicate with something more, with God. I encourage you to just take a couple deep breaths, close your eyes, and open to something more. Just talk about your life. Talk about the person who's driving you nuts. If it's your kids, this is a safe place. You can talk about this. Just share it all. Talk about your favorite thing you do these days. The thing that, man, you're thinking about when you're doing other stuff. The thing that it's always on your mind. Just talk about it. Go through each person in your life who you're close to. And just say something you appreciate about them. Talk about something you're most scared of right now. Talk about what you're most grateful for. Take another deep breath. When you're ready, just open up your eyes. More and more fascinated by this idea of spiritual practice. When we look at the science behind it, what we realize is when we do certain things, we train our brain a certain way. We can actually train our brains to see the world through a spiritual lens. Some of us, this is natural. We've done it our whole lives. It's easy. Some of us, this is the hardest thing we'll ever do. Spiritual practice is finding those things that we do that exercise that part of our brain that help us grow spiritually. Not by learning more. That's the easy way, right? But by changing us so we experience more. As you might have guessed, part of my spiritual practice is praying. It's just opening myself up to something more and just saying whatever's going on. For me, it's working. My bet is, for some of you, this is exactly what you need to add to your life as well. Because that part of the circuit in your brain that experiences God, it's not one we've worked out very hard, have we? So I want to encourage you, set aside time on a regular basis and do exactly what we just did today. For me, it's every morning I come to work. Some of you, it's when you come to church. There's a reason we do church once a week. It's a spiritual practice. It helps you guys going, oh, that's right, focus here. Work out this part of my brain. Experience God in a different way. I want to encourage you to leave today praying, but also open to figuring out what your spiritual practices need to be. I can't recommend praying more because, man, it's changing my life. Take one more deep breath, everyone. It's incredible how deep we go there, isn't it? Okay.